A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and today I'm joined by Randy Andy Datsun.
Hi Pete, this is our first time recording this.
This is definitely the first time we've done this, and no retakes whatsoever.
Absolutely not. No, and no retakes is actually my stage name, so I'm glad that we finally got that out there. But I'm all right today. I told you how it was raining about 2 minutes ago. It's now sunny, so there you go.
Welcome to England.
That's the kind of content you can expect in the second half of this podcast.
Oh hell yeah, what a tease for the outro. But do stick around, because we've got SmackDown stuff coming up and also the podcast exclusive outro content. It's going to be great, I promise. No idea what we're going to talk about, probably going to be improv for a lot of it. It's fine, but anyway, let's talk about SmackDown first. We're going to be talking about AJ Styles has been officially drafted to SmackDown, and is he replacing the void that is Roman Reigns? Here's the show. But let's get into talking about AJ Styles, because this week on SmackDown, he came over and had a match with Shinsuke Nakamura in the Intercontinental Championship tournament. And after that match, it was announced on Twitter that AJ had officially been drafted to SmackDown as an actual SmackDown roster member now, instead of just being, you know, the cross-brand invitational wildcard rule clause thing that's going on. Instead of him just coming over from Raw for this Intercontinental Tournament, he's now an actual SmackDown roster member. And this was announced in sort of a trade way. So for future considerations, Raw will be getting someone back eventually when WWE figure out who can do that, I guess. I'm quite excited to see AJ Styles back on SmackDown, because there's some really bloody good wrestlers on SmackDown, and AJ can have great matches with them. So I'm thoroughly excited for this.
Well, I think it was actually announced earlier. I think it was announced during the match by Cole on SmackDown right at the start that AJ was now officially a member of the SmackDown roster, which, is cool because you've got lots of potential feuds and matches there. It's bad for Raw. But I think almost AJ needs a fresh start. Having lost Gallows and Anderson to Black Wednesday, and then his sort of burial, literal burial at WrestleMania by The Undertaker. So yeah, I think it's good for him. I can see them sort of trying to continue to play off The Undertaker thing in the future, as they did at Money in the Bank, and just kind of hint at it. But yeah, I think in general it's the right move for WWE and for AJ, because now it's the brand that he sort of it's the house that he built, as you remember. It's the brand which he has held the top belt on. I know it's a different belt now, but he was WWE champion, obviously beating Jinder Mahal. I'm much more excited to see him facing off against people like Daniel Bryan and like returning guys like Shorty G and Ali and Cesaro and all these people if the match is a given time, which, mm-hmm. fair enough, this match was given, what, 10 minutes?
About 10 minutes, which is so pretty good.
Which for a SmackDown match is a good 2 or 3 years here, compared to most matches. So
that's true.
Yeah, and so he was in the IC tournament. So I guess, and the fact that he's now moved to SmackDown would seem to suggest to me that he will probably make it to the final of that. I know he's facing Elias next week, but I can't see Elias winning. Probably either just because AJ is going to win clean or because Corbin is going to attack Elias in some way. But what do you think? What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this match with Nakamura was pretty good. It's unfortunate because we know the level these two can compete at and they're not having that kind of match. I think the last maybe 3 minutes of this match was really, really good. And that was kind of the level we can expect from these guys. But for, you know, half an hour match, if they were allowed to do that, would be great. But the last 3 minutes of this match I thought was pretty good anyway. AJ Styles picking up the clean win with the phenomenal forearm I thought was cool. Like you said, he's facing Elias next week in the semis. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we're going to get a Daniel Bryan AJ Styles final, which would be great, and it would play off much of their history with Daniel Bryan turning heel on AJ and winning the WWE Championship off him way back when. So I think that'll be a really cool story to tell. Now with, you know, the dynamics switched because now AJ's the heel and Daniel Bryan's the face. I think it would be a story that writes itself, and hopefully it should be a really good match as well. And I think that the story's there to make that happen. So fingers crossed that does happen. I'm very excited for what AJ can do on SmackDown.
Yeah, it'll be a real clash of styles.
That's one of them.
Yeah, so although I'd sort of be interested to see him face Jeff Hardy, although every week that goes by, I sort of think, oh, Jeff, man, getting a bit slow. Which is obviously to be expected. But the thing with a lot of wrestlers, the older they get, they kind of change their style. So you've got Chris Jericho, who is mainly just a brawler now. He will crack out his lion salt now and then, but for the most part, he's very much elbows, knees, elbow drops, punches. Mm-hmm. But Jeff, because that's what people fell in love with, he feels he has to do that. And I feel like he can't, in a way he does, because I can't see him being like a ground and pound guy. But every time he lands on his back, he gets up and I'm like, just doesn't look fresh anymore. He looks like he's slowly breaking.
Yeah. I mean, we'll speak more about the Hardy-Sheamus match later on. But an interesting thing about AJ Styles going over to SmackDown is that according to Conan, because we've heard through our sources at WrestleTalk, because we have those now, that Roman Reigns doesn't have any heat backstage at all for taking his time off during WrestleMania and all that stuff. According to Conan, though, it's a different story. On his Keeping It 100 podcast, he said, I know for a fact because I was told this by people in the dressing room that he does have heat for missing WrestleMania, which to me, it's ridiculous. Now you want to bury him when you don't have that many guys that are over. That's why it's hard to watch the product. So it seems like it could be an argument could be made that AJ Styles is moving over to SmackDown to try and kind of fill that void that's been left when Roman Reigns is now no longer there. Now that they're, you know, not even mentioning Reigns, they're not doing video packages, they're not even talking about him at all. Now maybe they want to have a guy like AJ Styles come in to try and have a bit more star power, someone who is going to be quite recognizable for the casual audience, having that match with The Undertaker. And, you know, being in the company since 2016, he's quite a big figure who's been a top champion. It seems like a pretty solid replacement for Reigns. So I think the argument could be made that that's potentially what they're trying to do, is trying to get AJ over to try and have a Reigns-like spot on the card.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to start with saying that our sources are much better than Conan's. I think there are always going to be these sort of conflicting... that was a strange way of saying conflicting. Conflicting.
It's like contrasting.
There are going to be I can't do it now. There are going to be different
conflicting
reports, coming out of the dressing room. I guess depending on who you speak to or who like it is that your source is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of always thought there would be heat on him for it. I mean, I know that they've said, hey, no one's going to be punished for just saying they don't want to wrestle shows.
Zero consequences.
That was never, ever going to be true. We know what WWE is like. That you don't do, you can't just do something like that and not expect to get punished for it, unfortunately.
I mean, because we've seen it with Sami Zayn. He's been stripped of the Intercontinental title when he made the choice to not wrestle.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you're not going to get punished for it. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is now. You just assume that if it's something that's slightly, I mean, obviously this is more than a slight inconvenience for WWE because Reigns is their biggest star. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that inconveniences WWE and Vince McMahon, don't expect, it doesn't matter who you are, don't expect to get away with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Roman Reigns was trying to protect his family and himself, and he's probably being punished for it, which just feels so wrong.
Yes,
but this is 2020, and everything's wrong. So there you go.
That's true. Yeah, the world is upside down right now. I think it's really interesting seeing AJ on SmackDown, and you know, maybe replacing that Reigns spot. I think if he's going to have some kind of high profile feuds going forwards, which I'm hoping he will, I'm really hoping that he wins the IC title and has some really like high-end fuse that elevates the title that much further, I think it'll be a great get for SmackDown.
Mm.
One other thing before we get into the review of the main show, we want to actually get into our SmackDown highlight of the week, ladies and gents. Our SmackDown highlight of the week. We're going to do it straight up because there was a load of build for Backlash on this show. And as we know, they're promoting Randy Orton versus Edge as the greatest wrestling match ever. Now, on SmackDown, they took that one step further. They had a video package for Randy Orton and Edge, calling it the greatest wrestling match ever. But it was accompanied by a somewhat familiar song talking about stuff being great.
Amazing. I mean, I was sitting there, I was on my phone making notes like that, and then I just went... What? Well, why is that playing? I thought like it was like an advert that had gone into my feed, but no, that is the song they have chosen. I mean, generally they choose like quite sort of rocky songs, or I guess for WrestleMania they had The Weeknd, but then they just choose this massive show tune.
It's so baffling
for Backlash. But I don't know if you noticed, but that's not just the tagline they've used for Randy Orton Edge. They're using it for the whole show now.
They're using it for the show. They're building the entire show.
And then they had greatest wrestling match of all time again. And I was like, huh. Well, they can't all be the greatest wrestling match of all time or
they're
ever.
They're building the entire show of Backlash. Around Randy Orton and Edge being the greatest wrestling match ever. And now anytime we mention Backlash, that will be coming up on the screen.
Yeah, and if you remember that The Greatest Showman, which is where that music is from, is about a circus act where a man goes around and gets all the strangest looking people he can find and makes them perform in front of crowds. So there you go. So that's
an allegory for WWE. I don't know what is.
Interestingly, after that film came out, everyone was like, oh, this is a great film. It's a great film. And then all the kind of I don't know. I'm going to grab my glasses for this. People going like,
here we go.
Well, actually, P.T. Barnum, if you look into it, was actually a really horrible human being. There you go. I'm not going to say anyone is like that, getting strange people to perform in front of other people. But there you go.
Who could have seen that one coming? But it was just a very interesting build that made me laugh so much. And that is our SmackDown highlight of the week this week, because it was so funny when I first saw it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. Let me see if I can get this thing up. Hey, there you go, on the screen, patreon.com/wrestletalk. You can get all sorts of cool extra bonus content during these times. There's all sorts of retro pay-per-view reviews and WrestleTalk After Dark and stuff like that. It's
Wrestle
really,
League.
Really cool.
If you join Wrestle right League, now, you can put in your predictions for tonight's AEW Double or Nothing.
That's assuming that you're watching this before Double or Nothing.
You
if
are.
If it's after Double or Nothing, you can't do
that.
Yeah,
why are you watching
it? Would have
after
already
that?
Happened. Yeah. But anyway, if you pledge at the $25 and above tier, then you can get a custom wrestling name and it gets read out on a show much like this one. So thank you to The Hunter, Tyler Bailey. Woo!
Yeah. This is some kind of Patreon shout out. Nate dropped surname.
Woo! Thank you. Wrestling Talk sign guy, Jake.
Yeah. Butter me up, Soren Nord.
Woo. Thank you. Finding Jory DeBon. Woo.
Ah, nice.
Thank you.
Jonathan the Headmaster Headman.
Hey. What's the word I'm looking for? I was going to say consummate. Is that the word I'm looking for? Consummate email man.
Yes.
Jonathan the Headmaster Headman. Ari the Boozer Wait Feldberg.
Oh,
thank you.
Matt Netic Field. I like that.
I'm quite proud of that name, not gonna lie.
Oh, it was yours. I don't like it.
That was mine. The Anomaly, CJ Warren. Woo!
Oh, Ken, I'm not a Ken, I'm not eligible to get a case of craft beer. De Leon, first
there
try.
There we go. First try. Shield Maiden, the Zornice. Woo!
Oh, wonderful. And finally, please, sir, can I have some more Dom Hall bags?
Woo! Thank you Great very name. Much. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, all of our pledge hammers. But anyway, let's get into talking about the rest of this show. We start off with a video package for the military.
It's it's Memorial Day on Monday.
Memorial Day.
I had
right,
to
yeah.
look that up. It was very nice, but it was the
totally.
Most. It was the most American video I think I've ever watched.
Absolutely.
What I'm trying to say is, over here, we are obviously proud of our troops and whatever, but we don't do it to that level. But yeah, it was a lovely video package. It was one of those ones where, like, is it Veterans Day? I don't think it's Veterans Day. I think that's later in the year.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it
tribute,
to, tribute the troops?
To the troops?
No, it can't be. They wouldn't be doing that now. So I had to look it up. But happy Memorial Day to anyone who is celebrating it on Monday, if you're watching this on Monday especially.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then it was the Dirt Sheet opened the show like it did last week. And Otis is still fat. They made fun of Braun Strowman because that's who they had a match with last week.
This was a baffling segment to me because I didn't get what the premise was. Who were they mad at? They were saying, I can't believe that Otis is still Mr. Money in the Bank. Okay, so your promo is against Otis. Cool, got it. And then they said, but then, you know, Braun Strowman attacked us last week. I was like, okay, yeah, that does make sense. Braun Strowman attacked him last week. And then they say, here's some rejected Bray Wyatt puppets. And I said, wait, what? Huh? And he said, yeah. But Bray Wyatt still prefers these to Braun Strowman. Huh? I'm very confused as to what your promo is about here. It was really strange. Making fun of Bray Wyatt's puppets? Are you making? And then they said, like, oh, but Bray Wyatt still prefers these puppets to Braun Strowman because he could have picked Braun Strowman, but he picked puppets. I was like, this is a really convoluted way to try and keep the plate spinning of Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman while also attacking Strowman. I know what they were trying. It just didn't. Yeah, didn't come off right.
You could have them just talk about Braun Strowman being a big hairy man or whatever without bringing in Bray Wyatt, because you could just have spoiler for 20 minutes late or later in the show, they challenge him to a 2-on-1 handicap match at Backlash for the Universal Championship.
Where at, sorry? I think that was a Backlash, right?
At Backlash, where there will be a million dreams will come true. So that is a Greatest Showman pun, Pete. You probably didn't pick up on that one.
No,
but yeah, so it didn't really work.
No. And also it wasn't very funny.
No, it wasn't very funny because they're just recycling all the same jokes again.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a slow build also. They're trying to build another plate spinning is a slow build to a Miz and Morrison breakup angle.
Yeah, we'll talk about the segment first and we'll talk about that because it comes into play later on in the show. So Miz and Morrison are talking about these Bray Wyatt puppets that Wyatt still prefers to Strowman or something. Strowman then comes out and he says, hey guys, your show is pretty decent. I was like, there's no need to lie, Strowman, come on now. And then Strowman, for some reason, John Morrison gets really mad at Strowman. And he's like, well, Miz is more of the man than you are, because Miz was saying, Bray Wyatt's not done with you. Like, I faced him, I know what he does. Mm. Which I thought was a good way to bring it back to kind of reality. It was just a weird shift from the Dirt Sheet stuff. But that in itself was a good, you know, part of the segment. And then Morrison gets fired up and says, he's more of a man than you are, and he can take you on and all that stuff. And Strowman goes, oh, is that a challenge? Cool, it's me versus Miz then. And Miz was like, uh-oh, I don't want this. And he was trying to stop Morrison during the promo, but Morrison made the match for him anyway, which again is a bit of dissension between the two a little bit. They had the match there and then. It was quite short. I thought it was actually quite good for the time they got. I thought it was quite fast-paced. It just kind of kept going spot, 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 spot. But then Strowman hit the power slam for the win. John Morrison gets on the mic after the show and says, hey, man, you beat me and you beat Miz, but you can't beat us both together. So at Backlash, it's going to be a 2-on-1 handicap match for the Universal Championship.
Yes. Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, Miz was very upset, so obviously this is leading to a Big E heel turn. Given what we know, already know what's happening on Backlash, and given other matches that were advertised later in this show, it's not shaping up to be a particularly good show.
No, it's not the greatest show.
I'm not excited for a Braun Strowman versus Miz and Morrison match. I wouldn't mind it on TV. Like, it'd be a fine TV match, but at a pay-per-view, I mean, all that's going to happen is Braun's going to win, and then there's going to be a 5-5 Funhouse, I think.
You'd assume so, yeah. This very much feels like a placeholder match to keep the Bray Wyatt plate spinning, but really poorly. It's a strange combination, this match, but it's going to be what it is. And And then later on in the night, they had a promo with Renee Young backstage, and it started off with Miz being like, why would you give out the challenge? I wasn't ready for that match. And Morrison was like, hey, man, it's fine, because now we've got a Universal Championship match, right? And then they do the Miz Morrison hey, hey, ho, ho thing. With Renee Young. More tension between them. And that's not the last of the tension between a tag team or a pairing that we'll see on this show.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, we had, after that, we had the AJ Styles Nakamura match in the OC tournament, which was great. Really loved it. Lots of innovative spots and all that stuff. One arm Styles clash from a triangle. Always
that was great. Cool.
Really liked it. And we might be getting Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles, which I'm all for, please. As we said earlier, AJ is going to be facing Elias in the semifinals, and he's been officially drafted to SmackDown. Bayley backstage says she doesn't want Sasha Banks at ringside for her match. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, you know, I've got to do this for myself because people don't think I can win without you and all that stuff. And Sasha looked a little bit offended to start with and then goes, yeah, okay, that's fine, whatever. And I was like, more tension building.
Ooh, yeah, no, I quite like that. I like the fact that Bayley did this. Mm-hmm. Actually, I thought it was a nice little piece of character work. It was just a shame that the match was a bit naff.
I thought it was okay.
It was rubbish.
It wasn't. I thought it was good. The one thing, I've said this quite a lot, I've never been the hugest fan of Charlotte Flair. And people have been like, you know, she's the greatest in-ring women's worker of, like, ever or whatever. And I'm like, well, there's something about her that I just don't connect with. And I could not figure it out for the longest time what it was. And I figured it out this week. I know what it is that's bugging me about Charlotte Flair.
Can I guess?
What is it?
Is it the fact that when she gets fired up or when she's getting hurt, she goes, ah!
It's not that.
Okay.
It's the fact she's always smiling. Regardless of what's happening, regardless of what her character is, regardless of what the story is, regardless of what situation she's in the match, she is always smiling. She comes out to the ring, she's got a cocky smile on, and she's smiling. Yeah, look at me, I'm Charlotte Flair. She's getting chopped by Bayley. She's smiling. She loses to Bayley. She's still smiling. Stop smiling. You lost. It's so annoying.
She knows that she's going to be champion anyway in like 2 weeks. So
I know. It's the worst. It's the same problem as when, you know, when John Cena would always, like, during his, you know, when he was on top during like late 2010s, early 2010s, he was always kind of run down his opponents, mock them, make dumb jokes about them, and never take them seriously. That's the same vibe I get from Charlotte. She's always just like smiling, just like, huh, you're no opponent for me because I'm Charlotte Flair. And it's like, no, and take them seriously.
John Cena would do that thing where he would lose and immediately roll really fast out of the ring as like, I thought you were hurt. He's like, I lost. I can't get on board with Charlotte Flair either. I mean, I appreciate that she's obviously a great athlete.
She's a good in-ring worker. Thing.
But like, they still don't think she's a heel. They think she's just a cool champion who just is just like a good wrestler. It's like, she hasn't got a character now. Like, all it is she comes on and runs people down and calls herself the queen. It's like, she's a heel, but they're not treating her like a heel. They're treating Bayley like the heel in this situation. And Bayley's just a bit like, oh, I'm the best. But like, I much more think negatively towards Charlotte Flair in this situation. I'm like, I want Bayley to win this. And I mean,
especially because just before that, we'd seen Bayley do the babyface thing of being like, I want to do this by myself.
Yeah.
That's a babyface move. And they're still treating her like the heel. It's baffling.
And
it's
like,
baffling.
It was quite nice. What was actually quite nice to see was the fact that Charlotte Flair didn't get 89% of the match and then Bayley got a lucky roll. Like, it was quite back and forth. The roll was a bit janky. So Charlotte sort of rolls her up and then she rolls through. I think she tries to grab the tights and then misses and then sort of holds onto the top rope instead. So Bayley wins, rolls out. Charlotte Flair goes, ha. Because I know, do you know what? I know why she's so happy. It's because then they announced on that next week on Raw, it's going to be Charlotte Flair versus Natalia versus Nia Jax for the number one contendership for the Raw Women's Championship. So Charlotte Flair is the NXT champion, NXT Women's Champion. She turns up in NXT to do whatever. Yeah. She turns up on SmackDown and just gets a match against Bayley. Not a championship match, but she gets a match against the champion. And then for absolutely no reason, with no builder whatsoever, she gets a match on Raw for the number one contender. I know there's not a lot of people who can wrestle at the moment, but there are actually other people who are on Raw.
Yeah.
And then, like, Shayna Baszler, who beat Natalya this past week, who gets rewarded by Natalya then being in the number one contendership match. But Charlotte Flair,
that doesn't make any sense.
At this rate, is going to be every champion and every brand. And I've actually received a leaked image from WWE for Survivor Series this year. I think Pete's got it. But yeah, so it's going to be Charlotte Flair versus Charlotte Flair versus Charlotte Flair in a one-of-a-kind match where she defends all three belts against herself. It's going to be quite the match. And as you pointed out earlier, Pete, it's amazing how she looks like a completely different human being in every single photo.
In each photo, she looks like a different person. It's baffling.
Raw and NXT look quite similar. But then SmackDown looks... I don't know if it's the blue... Or
maybe
I don't know if it's the hair, but
could be. I don't know, but she looks different in every picture.
It's got to the point where they're giving her such a big push. They're giving her the Roman Reigns treatment, where she's on everything, and she's the only one that they're giving any kind of notice to.
Mm-hmm. Especially now that Becky's gone. She's just all over everything because she's the next biggest woman
they've
got.
It's not going to make people want to watch her because she's the only thing we see. And we saw last week, was it Naomi Dana Brooke? Was it a week before? Got a minute.
Yeah.
Tops, a minute and a half. Charlotte Flair just turns up and can have a match against the champion. And then she has a 10, 15 minute match. It's like, it's so unequal.
Other people,
it's so unequal as soon as she turns up. And like I said, I completely respect that she's a really good worker and she is a star. And it's just this isn't making me want to see her.
She needs a character because she doesn't have one at the minute. It's just the same thing.
I'm Charlotte Flair. Look at me. Exactly. I'm Charlotte Flair.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Flair. I'm great. Give her an actual character. But I tell you what was better than this, though, I thought, in my humble opinion, was the mixed tag team match with Sonya Deville and Dolph Ziggler versus Mandy Rose and Otis. I thought this was quite good. Not, the best technical match you'll ever see or anything like that, but I thought the story through the match was quite solid. It had all the time in the world for Sonya Deville and Otis to maintain their shine, and both of them looked really good coming out of this match. And it happened where Otis was thrown into the steps and Mandy was checking on him as it went to an ad break. And kind of during the ad break, Otis was like barely getting up. But he was like, no, Mandy, get in the ring. Get in the ring. I'm fine. Just get back in there and keep wrestling. And as she did, Sonya just kneed her straight in the face, which was great. And then, Sonya was on top, like kind of decimating Mandy Rose. Mandy got some brief hope spots in there, did her cool, knee that she does. But
Mandy's move.
Yeah, that's Mandy's move right there. But then, Otis got some of his spots in as well. But then it came to where Sonya and Mandy were legal and Otis and Dolph were on the outside brawling. Dolph was holding Otis back as Sonya hit presumably her new finisher, which is basically the last shot, like Adam Cole's finisher. And she picked up the pinfall victory over Mandy, which I thought was great.
The last minute of this match, my notes are Mandy, knee, 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 knee. Sonya, knee, knee, knee pin. And that final knee looked like it sucked.
It really hit her
with the point of the knee in the back of the head. And I genuinely think that Mandy was lying there going, yep, that hurt. It's good to see Sonya pick up another win. It's good to see her getting some momentum. They're actually giving another woman a bit of TV airtime. And every match that goes by, you realize, do you know what? Sonya Deville is much better than Mandy Rose. So it's the story they're telling is not just good, it's a valid story.
Exactly.
Which is something we don't get a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I like it when the heel's justified. It's just like her methods are bad rather than what she believes in, which is great. And I'm really hoping that this feud actually continues and they get us the Sonya versus Mandy 1-on-1 match. I think that will be kind of the end of the feud is what I'm really hoping for anyway. That will be kind of the line under the feud. Sonya will win, go on to be a big star. Mandy will be like, gosh darn it, she got me. I need to be better. and she'll go and have a training montage with Otis or something. But yeah, I think something like that would be great. I really want to see Sonya get more time because I think she's fantastic. After that, we got a promo from Jeff Hardy saying, I thought this was a pretty good promo, talking about kind of his journey to the Intercontinental Championship, saying that it was the first singles title he ever won and what it means to him, which I thought was a good way to elevate the title. And him saying that, you know, now I'm gonna get it back. Now I'm back, but I've got a Sheamus in my way, which yeah. I thought built. It was a good enough promo, decent enough built for the main event.
Yeah, it was nice. And then we got a Shad Gaspard tribute, little graphic, which is of course nice. And then we got a Forgotten Sons promo, which just said we're Marines. Whatever. I mean, I guess they're appearing on TV. Miz and Morrison then did their promos we mentioned earlier, like saying, well, we're going to beat Braun, and hey, hey, ho, ho. And then it was the main event.
It was. And in between which one was it? In between the Forgotten Sons promo and the Miz and Morrison stuff, we did get the announcement of the video package of Edge and Orton featuring.
I should probably have warned headphone users at the start of this that
I'll do a thing saying warning to headphone users. I'll see how it sounds in the edit, and then I'll put a disclaimer at the start if need be. But what a bloody highlight of the week that is. Anyway, yeah, then we had the main event, which was Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy. They got a little video package talking about their feud so far, which has been fine. And the story of this match, I thought it's a decent story, if not a little overdone, which is Sheamus got a little too cocky in the match. He was kind of dominating Hardy, you know, just saying, oh, he's in the best shape of his life, kind of dancing around the ring, being all cocky and stuff. And then Hardy got a roll-up victory.
It felt like Sheamus could have won several times. But yeah, and it was like, okay, yeah, we get it. We get it, Sheamus, you're a bit annoyed. Okay, all right. All right, you can kick him now if you want. But Sheamus on top for pretty much, I would say, 75%. Hardy kind of tried to get back, but he got dominated. Sheamus was being cocky. Sheamus countered a swanton where Hardy fell a long way down onto his knees, which I thought, if I hadn't seen the result before I watched SmackDown, I would have thought, oh, okay, Sheamus is going to win off the... They usually do that. That's a way that they let Hardy lose, is by letting him screw up a swanton. But yeah, and then as we saw in the Bayley Charlotte match, the most effective finisher on SmackDown is the roll up. So clearly Jeff had been watching that match and did a roll up on Sheamus for the win.
Yeah. So it's going to be Jeff Hardy versus Daniel Bryan in the semi-final. I would fully expect Sheamus to cost Hardy that match.
Yes.
To set up Daniel Bryan in the final, continue the Jeff Hardy-Sheamus feud, giving them probably a pay-per-view match, probably a Backlash.
Oh, you gotta stop doing that. I keep getting shocked.
So it's probably going to be that, I would assume, Hardy-Sheamus at Backlash, and then it will be Bryan and AJ Styles in the final, I would hope anyway. And then they can play off their history together. And that was the show. Overall, I thought this was fine. It's plodding along. And I think compared to Raw, the stories are just not that exciting. I feel like that all they're doing is like long-term teasers and long-term building. And granted, we've been saying they should do more long-term stories for ages, but that doesn't mean you take a one-month story and drag it to 4 months. That just means you have a longer story. Mm-hmm. And it's just, for me, it's just kind of plodding along and just going through the motions and saying, look at this tease. Look, there's another tease of the same thing that we teased last week. It's not actually furthering anything. It's just teasing the same thing again and again and again and again. It just kind of feels a bit repetitive at this point. Nothing much really happens on these shows. It's a 3 out of 5 show for me. Smack bang in the middle, is it?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong per se. It's just a bit samey every week.
Yeah, 2.5 stars. It's just a long time to wait for Backlash. And I don't And also, waiting for a show that you think is going to be good is one thing. Waiting for a show that is not going to be, don't do it, is not going to be great.
I had my mouse over it, man.
I know you did. Is another thing. But yeah, 2.5 stars. It was another episode of SmackDown, and then not really getting any better, and they're not really getting any worse. So.
So, Andy, I have a grand total of one email to read out today.
Read it really slowly.
I will. This one comes in from Drew, who says...
McIntyre?
No.
Gulak? Oh, he wants to join us now that he's left WWE.
It would be quite cool if it was one of those two. Mm. But he says, "Hi, Pete and Randy. Just emailing to ask Pete..." I've been playing D&D for several months now, and was wondering if you could make me a character for my first one shot I'm doing on Wednesday night. Cheers, yours sincerely, Drew."
What's a one shot?
So it's like you only do one session. It's like what we were doing in at the office before lockdown happened, which was supposed to be one session, but you guys messed it up and it went into two sessions because you guys made bad choices. So it's supposed to be like a one and done type thing. In terms of making a character for you, no.
Slutty orc.
No. Because I think half the fun of D&D comes from making your own character. I've never once wanted someone to make a character for me. I've always wanted to make my own stuff. So this isn't like no, who do you think you're talking to? What, you think I'm going to make a character for you? This is like no, you should make your own character for your own one shot, I think. If you want ideas, I can just spout some on a podcast sometime. Like, email me again and, next SmackDown podcast, I can just throw out some ideas for some stuff. But I'm not going to actually make the character for you. That's part of your thing, man.
What a labored way of saying, "Shut up, Drew."
That's not what I said. That's the opposite of what I
you're
said.
Such a heel, Pete. I mean, I've only played it that one time. And the most exciting bit for me was making my elven wizard thing. Lusty McSwallow.
Lusty McSwallow. And that is the actual name. That's not Andy like joking around right now. That's the actual name of the character that he had in the D&D one shot that we did at
work. I miss her a lot. Unfortunately, we did one of those sessions and then the world ended.
Yes.
So maybe we can resume that once we're back in the office in 2023.
You guys have just had a very long rest. That's all
exactly. But I'm trying to think if I've had any particular issues this week. I've started
you had a perfect life.
I've started indoor gardening, which is fine, but that's only because I'm still waiting on pots to go outside, but I've got some African I've forgotten their names, yellow ones, some purple ones.
That garden's going real well then.
Some petunias. I'm growing a tomato plant for my lady partner because my mother happened to have some little saplings, which I have stolen for them, and some lobelias. So it's pretty thrilling stuff, Pete. I can see from your face that you are riveted by this. Mm-hmm. I guess there are more serious issues that we could discuss.
I think it's probably been spoken about enough. I feel like this kind of content that we do is more about escapism. So if you guys haven't heard, obviously Shad Gaspard passed away this week, and unfortunately Hannah Kimura this morning as well. Unfortunately took a life when she was just 22 years old, which is horrible. But we won't go into too much detail. There's a lot more about that on the WrestleTalk news and all that stuff. So let's try and steer clear of that if we can. We had something that you and I haven't discussed yet, actually, Andy, is Quizlemania this past week. Because we had Scottish Encyclopedia Kenny McIntosh was with us. Turns out Luke is more of an encyclopedia than Kenny.
Luke was on fire. Like,
he was.
They are. I think there were two. The two more trivia rounds were were quite kind to Luke. They were topics that he knows well. But I'm not absolutely not taking anything away from Luke, because he smashed it out of the park. I was quite pleased that I was in second place for most of it. Then obviously the last round is a trivia round, and therefore I dropped down the rankings. Having said that, you and I both made it to the final two of what was it?
NXT UK roster members. I won that round.
I know, and I was sickened because the other two that I had were NXT UK roster members, and I wasn't confident enough because I didn't know whether they had moved to NXT proper. And then it was the retired pay-per-view round, and I'm still going to dispute this, even though I kind of don't. I don't care. But I'm going to dispute it. So I said Stomping Grounds, which happened last year. It hasn't happened this year. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen this year.
You don't know that.
Well, we've seen the list of pay-per-views for this year. Unless they decide just to shove it in there, it's not going to happen this year. And therefore, I believe that I was wronged and that I should have the trophy now, even though it would make no difference. Although, having said that, I did have a lot more retired pay-per-views that were valid.
You should have gone for, yes.
I should have gone for. It was basically, I was just going down my list in order, and Stomping Grounds just happened to be there.
See, I had Stomping Grounds on my list, but I had a question mark next to it. That was going to be my last gasp effort.
The one I had a question mark next to was Evolution.
I completely forgot about Evolution.
Well, so did everyone else, apparently.
Yeah.
So obviously we're not going to say what the plan is for next week, but it's going to be a good one, I think.
Yes, it should be very, very good. I'm very excited for it.
I'm not. For reasons you'll find out on
four reasons that we can't
Monday.
Say right now.
It's because Ryback and Lance Storm are on it.
That's exactly what it is. Here's a hot take for you about Quizme, about the controversy about it. I don't think that Stomping Grounds retired thing, I don't think you're right to dispute that, because he had a source and he took it from that source and that's it. Whereas in the other round, when it was NXT UK roster members, and then he said, well, you know, I've gone from the Wikipedia page, and then he went to WWE.com and then he found other stuff, shouldn't have happened. He said, according to this source, and if it's not on that source that he's taken it from, then it doesn't count, because that's where he got it from.
Those 6 points for Kenny were, I think, were slightly janky, but
were 50 points.
I really don't mind. As long as I don't come last, I don't really care. How do you feel, Pete?
Awful. I was so proud of myself throughout the whole thing. I was like, you know what? I'm doing okay. Considering there's quite a few topics that I don't know anything about, I'm never going to win pay-per-feud ever, because I can never remember any matches on any shows ever, apart from the main events.
That's not my level of knowledge. I basically, what I do is I wait for someone more... I was going to say intelligent, not more intelligent. Someone who knows more about pay-per-views.
More in the know.
Yeah, than I do. And then if they get it wrong, I just say another pay-per-view in that year. Or if Luke, for example, goes SummerSlam 2018 and he goes, oh no, it was the other one, I'll go SummerSlam 2019. And just the hope that it's worked a few times. But the issue is that a lot of like Luke and stuff are getting them on the first one, and that's just not going to happen with me.
Exactly. I'm not even close.
That's not how my memory works.
There's only been, I think, two that I could have got. There was one when it was what was it? It was China versus Ivory, and instantly my mind went WrestleMania X7. Luke got in before me, said WrestleMania X7, and it wasn't it. And I was like, ah, damn it. And when I was thinking, I was like, wait, didn't they face beforehand? I think it was Shawn jumped in and got Royal Rumble from that year. And I was like, God, I knew that as well. That's annoying. And then there was one on this Quizlemania, I think, where I was like, I could have got it, but I think you got it, I want to say.
I think it was like something to it, 2008, the Matt Hardy MVP.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Backpack, and I think we were going to say the same one. I was going to say or like my second answer was that.
Oh, didn't
so
we
I've
both
been close twice?
I'm pretty sure. We said our names at the same time, but I said it like about half a second first before you.
Yeah.
It was like Andy Pete.
Yeah.
So tune in next week if you enjoy watching me get humiliated.
It's going to be great. But anyway, that is probably all the time we've got for this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back. It's Double or Nothing tonight. So you can expect a review of that at some point, I'm sure. And then we're going to be building up to Backlash with Raw and NXT and AEW and SmackDown all over
greatest
again.
Greatest wrestling cycle. Match of all time.
This is the greatest show. So stay tuned for all of that content coming up. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.